Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by
Natalie and Aaron met on CatholicSingles.com after they realized that they needed to find someone who shared their faith. Meet other faithful Catholics on the original Catholic dating site. Download our app today for free.
Looking for a way to build daily prayer discipline? Seen the rise in mindfulness meditation, but not sure if it is possible to meditate in a way that's consistent with your Catholic faith? Just looking for a way to breathe new life into your existing prayer routine? No matter what you're looking for, HOLO is here to help. HOLO is a Catholic prayer and meditation app that helps users deepen their relationship with God through audio-guided contemplative prayer sessions. From meditations on the daily gospel, to the rosary, to daily examines, HOLO has something for everyone. HOLO is the number one Catholic app in the U.S. It is free to download and has permanently free content, but you can also check out all of the premium sessions for 30 days, risk-free, by signing up at www.holo.app/breadbox.
Who is to blame for the lack of preparation for and the response to the coronavirus? A lot of people are asking those questions, and everybody has an opinion, but I don't. I think that asking who is to blame is the wrong question. In this edition of By Your Life, we encourage taking responsibility, not placing blame. Welcome to the 104th episode of By Your Life. I'm Lisa Hademan, and I know that you have 100 different things that you could be doing right now. So I thank you for choosing By Your Life. My goal is to inspire, empower, support, challenge, and encourage you to connect Sunday with Monday through Friday in a secular business world. It's my desire to help you live our Catholic faith in the marketplace. I hope to offer you practical ways to go forth and glorify the Lord by your life. In this edition, we'll reflect on the readings for the fourth Sunday of Lent. When Lent began just 4 weeks ago, most of us never imagined the marketplace where we spend most of our waking hours could be turned on its head the way it has in the past 21 days. Who is to blame for the lack of preparation and response that got us here? A lot of people are asking that question, and everyone has an opinion. I don't. I think that asking who is to blame is the wrong question. This Sunday's gospel begins, "As he passed by, he saw a man blind from birth. His disciples asked him, 'Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?'" In other words, who's to blame? The idea that sickness and misfortune were the direct result of sin was a common misconception held by the Jews, and today we suffer from the same misconception. Sure, sometimes it is true that there is a direct relationship between someone else's sin and my suffering. If you punched me in the nose for no reason, you would have sinned and I would have suffered. It's also true that my suffering can be the direct result of my own sin. If I fail to properly care for my body, if I fail to eat right and exercise, I will suffer the consequences of poor health. But this isn't what I'm talking about. Sometimes stuff just happens, and it's nobody's fault. But that doesn't stop people from looking for someone to blame. I don't have to tell you that the situation with the spread of the coronavirus into a global pandemic has brought out its share of fault finders. From world leaders on down to our Facebook friends, there is no shortage of blame being cast for causing it and failing to stop it. Why do we do this? My theory, we do this to escape responsibility. Note, I said responsibility, not blame. There is a difference between accepting or taking responsibility for something and accepting or taking blame. I can take responsibility whether or not I am to blame. Somehow, if I think I can blame someone, it makes things easier for me. Unfortunately, the only thing that does is blind me to my responsibility. When I'm busy blaming others, I'm not compelled to do what I can to address the issue. After all, it's not my fault. Why should I do anything about fixing it, solving the problem, or making things right again? But if you're not part of the solution, then you are part of the problem. John G. Miller, the author of QBQ, The Question Behind the Question, says the solution to blaming others involves an entirely new approach. We can no longer ask, who dropped the ball? Why can't they do their work properly? Or why do we have to go through all these changes? Instead, every individual has to ask the question behind the question, how can I improve this situation? What can I contribute? Or how can I make a difference? Victim thinking leads to you and they questions like, why don't you do something? While responsibility thinking leads to I questions like, what can I do? Responsible people are creators. They create solutions to problems. Blamers, on the other hand, are victims. And being a victim is an unhappy place to be. Most people don't want to be a victim. Most people don't know that's what they're doing. I worked with a leader in one of the large public accounting firms whose career had gotten off track. He was very skilled in the technical aspects of his role, but he was consistently missing his billable hours target, and his job was in jeopardy. I met with him over the course of several months, and this client had a turning point in one of our sessions when I said to him, that sounds like an awful lot like victim speak. At first he was taken aback, but then he realized that he was playing the role of a victim. He had been blaming others for his current situation, and as a result, he wasn't doing his part to change it. That was years ago, and he's now just a few months away from retiring with the firm. I had lunch with him recently, and he told me with a smile that me helping him realize his victim thinking not only changed his life, but has helped him as he's mentored countless others in his firm in the same way. I shared another example of how responsibility thinking saved someone's life in an article I wrote for 210 Magazine about Ed Koble, president and COO of DeBartolo Development, a real estate investment firm. Early in his career, through the early 1980s, Ed Koble had developed $300 million worth of shopping centers and other large commercial projects. Then, the Tax Reform Act of 1986 dramatically changed the real estate industry, and he found himself upside down on $115 million worth of loans. His accountants and lawyers advised him to file for bankruptcy and walk away from all the debt. But that didn't sound right to him. He had no peace when considering bankruptcy, so he decided to trust God's lead instead and not pursue that option. Then, everything got much worse. He backed away from the anxiety and the pressure of the problem and went to the Lord to ask for help. On an earthly sense, this was a big problem, but Ed was exhilarated knowing he could call upon the God of the universe. The hard part was listening to him and following his lead. It took Ed 5 years and every ounce of his spirit to work through all the challenges, but at the end of that journey, he paid back every penny. When he told me this story, Ed Koble made it clear that he wasn't passing judgment on those who file for bankruptcy, and neither am I. My reason for telling this story is because of his faith and because he rejected the role of a victim, even though he wasn't to blame for the changes in the tax law that turned his business upside down. He could have taken the easy way out and said, "It's not my fault, so I'm going to let my loan holders take the loss." However, he didn't. He chose to put his trust in the Lord who guided and strengthened him, and God had an incredible hand working in and through him. I'm also sharing his story because of what happened after he paid back all his debts. His business took off again, and within a year, he headed to Wall Street to secure public funding. After a week of making cold calls and sharing his business plan with the major banks, Ed came home with two term sheets totaling $500 million, and his business was reborn in a big way. Years later, Ed asked his bankers why they lent him money, knowing what a failure his prior business had been. They told Ed that because he had worked hard to repay his debts instead of filing for bankruptcy, they knew he could be trusted with the investment. At times, our sins, our physical ailments, and all other kinds of suffering are permitted by God as a means of purification and as an opportunity for close union with Christ and His cross. They become an opportunity to reveal the glory of God. This was true for the man born blind in Sunday's gospel. It was true for Ed Coble, and it is true for you and me. We just need to listen to God and cooperate with Him for His glory. As we are in the midst of this thing called the coronavirus pandemic, we are all suffering in one way or another. Some of you are suffering because you are working overtime, traveling in uncharted territory. Some of you are suffering because you can't work and are worried about how you're going to make ends meet. Some of you are suffering because your routine has been abolished, your social support systems have been eliminated, or you're trying to work from home and at the same time monitor your children as they study online. Good luck with that. Some of you, like my daughter, whose last semester of her senior year in college has been taken from her, you too are suffering because the important events that you've looked forward to for months or years, like graduation, have been canceled. Some of you are suffering from the virus itself, are caring for someone who is, or mourning someone who has died. What pains me the most is that most public masses have been suspended, and we no longer may receive Jesus sacramentally. In the midst of all this suffering, we can take solace in that it is so that the works of God might be made visible. But you know what? The works of God are made visible through us. Jesus told his disciples, "We have to do the works of the one who sent me while it is day. Night is coming when no one can work." Note, he didn't say, "I have to do the work of the one who sent me." He said, "We have to do the works." We, you and I, have a responsibility to do the works. He also said, while it is day, and not when we have time to get around to it. Sometimes I just hate it when God speaks to me this way. As I was working on this episode of By Your Life, a Facebook push notification popped up in my screen. I accepted the distraction, clicked it. One thing led to the next, and I started scrolling through my Facebook feed. There was a post from a friend who I usually just scroll past because she generally shares negativity and I'm not interested. But today was the third day that she posted her woes about not being able to find any Kleenex or toilet paper at the store. Her friends commiserated by blaming everyone from the store to the President of the United States for the shortage of paper products. Since the message in this episode is about blaming, this post caught my eye. But then, a voice said to me, "Take her a box of Kleenex and some toilet paper." Now, this friend lives 20 miles away, so the idea of getting in the car and driving to her house with these supplies was ridiculous, and I told the voice that. But the voice persisted. "You have to do the works of the one who sent me." "All right, all right." I got in my car and drove 20 miles, dropped the paper products on her front porch, and left. She doesn't listen to my podcast, so she'll never know who did it. Even if she would suspect it was me, she would be wrong. It was God. I just happened to be his arms and legs. It is not normal for me to drop everything I'm doing to do an unsolicited favor for a friend, but things are no longer normal. In these abnormal times, you and I have a choice. We can invest our energy in finding someone to blame, or we can take responsibility for doing the works of God. One is choosing to be a victim. The other is taking responsibility to cooperate with the Creator. One is sharing darkness. The other is being the light. Which do you choose? In our second reading from St. Paul to the Ephesians, he encourages us to live as children of light, for light produces every kind of goodness and righteousness and truth. Take no part in the fruitless works of darkness. Rather, expose them. Don't blame them. Take responsibility for being the light you expose them to, so that God may be made visible. That's all we're asked to do. The interesting thing about taking responsibility is that even though one person is to blame for causing a problem, everyone can be responsible for fixing it. Today, in the midst of the coronavirus pandemic, everyone must take responsibility for stopping it. So let's ask for courage and strength to be light this week by praying the 23rd Psalm that we heard on Sunday. He guides me in right paths for his name's sake. Even though I walk in the dark valley, I fear no evil, for you are at my side with your rod and your staff that give me courage. May God bless you abundantly this week, and may you glorify the Lord by your life. If you like this episode, spread the word. You know what to do. You can forward, share, or click to post on our website at byyourlife.com. And while you're there, you can check out our resources page, where you can find a link to the books and other resources mentioned in this and other episodes of By Your Life. And I'm always interested in what you think, so give me some feedback by leaving a comment.
I feel silly trying to make up prayers myself. My mind starts to wander as I'm speaking to God. I just don't have time to pray. Do you recognize yourself in any of these statements? If so, we have a book for you. In Pray Fully, best-selling authors Michelle Fanley and Emily Jaminet share the rewards and frustrations of their own prayer journeys to create a practical guide that combines testimonies, tips, and journaling space to help you spend quality time with God. Whether you want to learn how to pray aloud in a group or stop your mind from wandering during prayer, Fanley and Jaminet have practical advice and the real-life experience to help you overcome obstacles to everyday prayer. Head over to AveMariaPress.com and use code LEARN2PRAY. That's Learn, the number 2, pray, to get 20% off your copy today. Looking for exceptional coffee delivered fresh to your door? We have the answer. Our friends at Grim Bean Coffee produce small-batch artisan coffee using top-tier coffee beans. The coffee is roasted when you order, guaranteeing the freshest coffee possible. Check out Breadbox Roasts, a new line of Catholic-themed coffees available at www.grimbeancoffee.com/breadboxmedia. Experience coffee like never before.